and a supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Salam alaikum and welcome to this program, today's special. On a special occasion, that is birthday anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Askari, peace be upon him. Dear friend, accept our congratulations on this auspicious aid.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Tuesday, is the 8th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 24th of November 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we express our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Shia's 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari, alayhi salam.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate
Rain, water and guidance It happened that during Imam al-Askari's imamate of 6 years, drought and dry spell afflicted most of Iraq and Syria. This situation was exploited by a Christian hermit who stepped forward with promise of rain, and he did succeed in bringing down a shower or two whenever he lifted his hands towards the sky. The people were amazed. The self-styled caliph had no choice but to return to venerable descendant of the prophet to save the state. The 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari, asked the Christian priest to first remove a certain object that he was holding between his fingers and then pray for rain. Now, when the hermit did so, no cloud appeared and no rain fell. Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam explained that the hermit had somehow acquired a bone of one of the prophets of the past, and whenever he exposed it to the heavens, divine mercy made some showers. The Imam then smiled, and after performing a special two-rak'ah prayer, he prostrated to Allah. He then raised his hands towards the heavens and humbly entreated Allah to send ample rainfall. Suddenly, dense clouds appeared and heavy rains fell, giving new life to the land and the people. Congratulate on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Askari. Peace be upon him.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the life and times of the 11th infallible Imam, Al-Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, it must be indicated that in addition to being the father of the last and final infallible Imam, Al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi and Ajalla ta'ala faraju al-Sharif, Imam Al-Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, was very much active in educating many of his close companions. According to the great Shiite scholar Sheikh Tusi, such personalities like Ahmad ibn Ishaq Ash'ari Qumi, Abu Hashim Dawood ibn Qasim Ja'fari, Abu Amr Usman ibn Sa'id Amri, Ali ibn Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Safar, and many other people, the list of which amount to at least 100 dignitaries and important people, were all educated in the school of Imam Al-Hassan Al-Askari alayhi salam. And it must be indicated that, for example, Ahmad ibn Ishaq Al-Ash'ari Al-Qumi, who was one of the representatives and delegates of Imam Al-Hassan Al-Askari alayhi salam in Qum, was among the personalities who had the honor of meeting up with Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam when Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam was still a child. Another one is that although Imam al-Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam was living in Samarra and in a military camp, in a military garrison, he had close contact with his representatives and his delegates in a number of cities in the whole Muslim lands, like, for example, in Kufa, Baghdad, Nishabur, Qom, Abe, Madain, Khorasan, Yemen, Ray, Azerbaijan, Samarra, Jorjan, Basra, and other people. And Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, by means of this network and a systematic network of representatives, Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam used to receive the updates about those places and communities. And by the same token, Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam answered the queries and led them to the best answer. Thank you.
Medan abid, full of compassion. Kindness in our hearts, when all the fun starts, exhilaration. Smiles everywhere, delight in the air, jollification. Whole trips, endless full visits, colorful outfits, mark this occasion.
Samarra, located around 100 kilometers north of Baghdad, was a garrison town, often called military encampment, since the word askar in Arabic is used for the army. Some believe the 11th Imam title, Al-Askari, was derived from this. However, there is an interesting account related by many historians. It is said that once the caliph called the 11th Imam to his palace and ordered his army to stage a march past before him. The Abbasid ruler wanted to impress the Imam of his power. When the march past was over, the Imam was asked his opinion in this regard by crafty caliph. He smiled and lifting his two fingers, told the Abbasid ruler to gaze between them. What the caliph saw was a huge army of angels extending towards the sky. Caliph was astonished at this miracle and called the 11th Imam Al-Askari, that is the person with the huge army, at his beck and call. Dear friend, again, we congratulate this auspicious day, birthday anniversary of Imam Hasan Al-Askari. Peace be upon him.
Families are gathering, remembering Allah, and that His love is the greatest by far. All praise for you, Allah, all thanks to you. The joy of Eid comes only from you.
Glad tidings. One day, Imam Hasan al-Askari spoke to his close companion with these words. Indeed, God has never left the earth empty of a proof upon His creation, since He created Adam, and will not leave it empty of the proof until the hour of reckoning emerges. Through Him, the proof, God pushes calamity away from the people of earth through Him. He brings down the rain, and through Him, He extracts the blessings of the earth. The companion asked, O Son of God's Messenger, who then is the Imam and successor after you? The 11th Imam rose to his feet quickly and went inside his home. Soon enough, Imam came back with a 3-year-old boy in his arms. Imam al-Askari turned to his companion and said, If it were not for your honor before Allah and the proofs of Allah, the Imams, I would not have shown you this son of mine. Indeed, his name is that of God's Messenger, as in his title, he is the one who will fill the earth with fairness and justice, just as it has been filled with tyranny and injustice. By God, he will disappear from physical sight, such as occultation, that no one will be saved from peril in it except those whom God has fortified on reasoning and faith in saying that he is the Imam, and whom Allah has helped succeed in praying for hastening his advent. Amen.
Historians tell us that either the 8th or the 10th day of Rabi'ul Akhir or Rabi'ul Thani is the day which marks the birth of the 11th Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari alayhi salam, who was born in the year 232 after Hijrah. And historians tell us that the Imam, just like his father and just like many of his forefathers, lived in a very repressive and a very difficult time during the time of the Abbasis, who especially towards the Imams of Ahlul Bayt and the families of Ahlul Bayt, who were very oppressive and repressive. Although in some instances, publicly they would show support, publicly they would honor, but in fact, privately and in reality, they expressed a lot of hatred and animosity towards the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And so historians tell us that the Imam, he grew up in a very difficult time in Samarra, Surra Man Ra'a. And the Imam, in fact, lived for a very short period of time. Historians tell us that the Imam lived for 28 years. That he was 28 years old when he achieved martyrdom, when he left this life. And this, brothers and sisters, and I've said this before, when we come across certain occasions when we celebrate the birth of a family, an Imam of Ahlul Bayt, or very important person in history, or we commemorate their martyrdom or their death, it's a time for us to reflect. It's a time for us to think about how this personality lived his or her life, how they conducted themselves. And so for me especially, I ask myself about this great Imam who achieved such a great heritage, intellectual heritage and ethical heritage and legacy, an Imam who died at the age of 28 years old, had accomplished this and so much more. And so I have to ask myself, as a follower of this Imam, what am I doing to relate to this Imam?
Dear friend, that was today's special. And again, we congratulate on birthday anniversary of Shia's 11th Imam, Imam Hasan al-Askari, alayhi salam. Till another program of today's special, may Allah keep you all safe. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and congratulations to you all on the auspicious birth anniversary of Imam Hasan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Let us listen to one of his beautiful advices. Luck has degrees. So do not hasten towards the fruit that it is not ripe yet, because it is picked only at its time. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we'd like to send our congratulations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman, on this being the happy occasion of the birth of the beloved father of the Imam alayhi salam. And obviously we have to send our congratulations to the son first, and then obviously to the Muslim Ummah, and especially the followers of the Imam alayhi salam, that is the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, on this being the day that is recorded to be the birth of Imam alayhi salam, Imam Askari alayhi salam. On this occasion of the birth of the Imam, we mention an event or a miracle that was seen from the Imam, that is narrated by one of the Imam's companions, the companion whose name was Abu Hashim. It is narrated that this individual Abu Hashim obviously must have been close to the Imam, so he went into the Imam's house and he saw the Imam writing a particular letter. So as the Imam was writing this particular letter, it came, and also what is important, that this tradition shows the importance of Salah, the importance of prayer, that Imam must have been writing a very important letter. Why? As we come to see the rest of the tradition. So the Imam was busy writing this letter, and the time for prayer arrived. This companion of the Imam narrates that the Imam left that particular letter, as he left the letter in that place, and he went to pray his salah. But as the Imam left, the pen continued to write. So the pen continued to write that letter. So it must have been a letter of some importance, that Imam is not there. The pen is writing by itself, so to speak, and the Imam is going to pray his prayer. So the companion narrates that the pen continued writing till the end of the letter, until the Imam came back after his prayer and took hold of the pen again. And he says that, you know, and seeing this miracle in front of me, I went into prostration and prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was able to see such a miracle. And he continues to narrate that when the Imam finished and the letter finished and the Imam took hold of the pen, he then requested that those individuals or those Shia who wish to see him can now come and see him. So from this thing we understand that, look, the Imam's, you know, for certain individuals showed certain things, and this individual might have been a very close companion of the Imam. In order for him to see such a thing and to understand that this is a miracle of the Imam, and for him then to even go into prostration, understand that, you know, this is something that is of benefit to him, that he was able to see such a thing, and to give a sajda or a prostration of thankfulness that he was able to see it and witness it. What was also important that we take from this tradition is the importance that the Imam gave to prayer, that the Imam left that particular duty that he had, which must have been an important letter, and he left it and went straight to his prayer, in order that it is more important, my communication with my Lord is far more important. Again, our congratulations to the Shia, and especially to the Imam of the time on this day. And shall we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this Imam, that he hastens the reappearance of his son, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman, that hopefully we are those who can see such miracles from the son of this beloved Imam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio.
with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. So one of the things we shouldn't ask from the Almighty Allah is to invoke evil upon the believers. We should never invoke evil upon the believers, upon the ones who have wronged us apparently, since the Almighty Allah himself has promised us that he would embrace us out of his own mercy. And it is actually one of the objectives of Muslim Brotherhood, to actually remove the bitterness out of the brothers' hearts and to strengthen the bond between the members of the Muslim community. Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam says in a narration, when the angels hear a believer speaking ill of his brother and praying against him, they say to him, what a bad brother you are for your brother. Stop, O one whose sins and faults have been concealed. Have piety on yourself and thank Allah who concealed your sins. Beware that Allah the Almighty, the Majestic, knows His servants better than you. Indeed, Allah the Exalted is the peace. He is Salam. To Him returns the peace. From Him comes the peace. And His presence is the peace. So when we stand before Him with our hearts filled with peace, when we are actually praying for each other's good, and we are not praying for each other's eradication, we are invoking His mercy for each other, and each of us is giving preference to the other in attaining the mercy of Allah, in these cases, we will succeed in attracting Allah's mercy, since in these situations, we are more like Him, we are closer to Him, and it will embrace all of us. Allah's mercy will embrace us altogether, since the mercy of Allah descends at the places of love and peace, and upon the loving hearts of the believers.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, wal-fadl wal-in'am, alladhi ba'ud fala yura.
So if the hearts are at peace with one another, then we get closer to the Almighty Allah's mercy. Similarly, This would cause the ascension of our hearts, our actions, prayers, and supplications to the Almighty Allah. Since we are now a community, we are Jama'ah, and the supplication that comes out of the Jama'ah is closer to be heard, and is closer to the response and ijabah. It is only the good word, al-kalimu tayyib, and the hearts inhabited by it that it sent to Allah, since the Holy Quran says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. But if we were to stand before Allah with conflicting hearts, having this point in our mind that my brother has wronged me, so I am praying evil upon him, I am praying for the eradication of the blessings from him, we are filled with grudge and animosity, and we are empty of love and peace. And if we, the believers, were to raise our differences, our problems, and our complaints to Allah, and he was to incite some of us against the others, then the mercy of Allah, which embraces everything in the universe, would get cut off from all of us. The Almighty Allah's mercy would be so away from our hearts, our actions, our prayers, and our supplications. As a result, our calls will not ascend to the Almighty Allah. Since we are out of mercy, we are not thinking anything about the mercy.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Only those hearts which are filled with love can attract Almighty Allah's mercy and can avert misfortunes and punishments from the believers. Of course, the opposite is also true, because the conflicting hearts of the believers, the hearts which are actually hostile towards each other, hinder Allah's mercy from them. And this grudge in the hearts causes afflictions and punishments to befall them. And as we have many instances of these happenings throughout the history and throughout the traditions, and mentioning and reading them is beyond the scope of our topic. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
During the time of Imam Hassan al-Askari, much of the communication of the companions and their followers transferred from a communication which is verbal and in person to a communication that is, for the most part, in writing. There are many interesting conversations that are there in writing at this point. But the two pieces of advice that we have from Imam Hassan al-Askari that I would like to share, and I think they're very important for us to remember in this day and age. One is included in a hadith I believe many of us have heard. Two or three passages of it are stressed and emphasized. One of the passages, it talks about the signs of the Shia. One of them is Ziyaratul Arba'in. We've heard that one. The other line that we have there is that they rub their faces on the soil in prostration. Another is saying Bismillah loudly in prayer, or not loudly in the sense of shouting, rather instead of whispering it where it's not heard or it's barely heard, say it in a audible voice where it is heard, it is anyone around you could hear it, not shouting it. These are parts of it, but the one part of that advice that he tells us the signs of the Shia are these, is 51 rak'ah of prayers daily. The Imam tells us that a sign of being the follower of the Ahlul Bayt is to recite or to perform 51 rak'ah of prayers. Obviously, the wajibat are not 51 rak'ah. The wajib prayers are 17 rak'ah for a person who is performing their prayers full and they're not traveling. The remainder, the 34 rak'ahs that remain that are mentioned there, are referred to as rawatib yawmiyya, or the nawafil, the extra prayers. 2 rak'ahs before fajr, 8 rak'ahs before dhuhr, 8 rak'ahs before asr, 4 rak'ahs after maghrib, and 2 rak'ahs sitting after isha, which that constitutes as one standing rak'ah, and therefore the number equals 34 rak'ahs. There are signs that suggest Imam Hassan al-Askari, salamullah alayh, part of what he did, the short period of imamah that he had, one of the important tasks at hand that he had was to prepare individuals and in ways the masses spiritually. one of the, or I should say, the most important preparation we need to have for the Ahlul Bayt, which is what they encouraged for their followers to be prepared for the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, is spiritual preparation. Our souls need to be prepared. Our nafs needs to be prepared. If our soul is not prepared, if our nafs is not prepared, if we have not trained ourselves, whatever social political activity we may have been involved in, against oppression, against injustice, whatever activism we think we are part of, we think we're against injustice, if we have not, if we do not perfect ourselves, this nafs of ours, that preparation is not going to be sufficient. And God forbid, we could be of those who, with all of that, become part of the movement, yet become the strongest and the worst enemies of the movement. We have too much of that. I don't want to spend the time of this session explaining those we've mentioned before, and I'm sure you have some of them in mind. If the nafs is not ready, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنْ يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ الْأَرْضِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Iman and amal salih, these people are going to be the ones with the 12th Imam. The promise is for such people. The promise is not for social activists. Doesn't say social activists there. That's not the divine promise. The divine promise is الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ They will inherit وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ If you look at these and compare them, the mustadhafin that God has said, nuridu, it's not only at the time of Prophet Musa, that is mentioned in the context of Prophet Musa, it's not limited to that, however. The wording is nuridu, it's mudari', it means this is our irada, this is what we will. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ will be made وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً They will be leaders. The مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ will be leaders. I don't want to discuss too much how the مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, which means generally they are, the translation we get is, or the oppressed. And it is true, and I briefly spoke about that, but I don't want to deal with that right now. If you draw the parallels, the mustadhafin will be a'immah, and the verse that we initially recited, it says, nuridu, or wa'adallah alladhina amanu minkum wa'amilu salihat, lanastakhlifannahum fil ard. Okay. The promise of istikhlaf, inheriting the earth, is the same promise which is mentioned, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً They will become leaders. Who becomes leaders? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ They are the ones that are going to become the leaders. The leaders are the ones that are close to the 12th Imam. Who are they? Are they described as experts in this field or that field? No, the Quran says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ That's the key factor. That is the key factor. We have seen too many times activists that fought against a tyrant. When they came to power, sometimes they were worse than the tyrant that they fought. The Abbasids came to power fighting the Umayyads because the Umayyads were corrupt, because they were oppressive. They oppressed the household of the Prophet. The people were fed up with it. They rose against the Umayyads. They came to power. They did worse. It's not about this family or the other family. The imams generally, and we're saying Imam Hasan al-Askari specifically, on a certain level of spiritual development, a higher level of spiritual development, Imam Hasan al-Askari was involved in that. One of the products, we've mentioned this before, I'm sure of, the two first deputies of the 12th Imam were trained, an important part of their spiritual training that made them ready to become representatives of the 12th Imam, such that whatever they said was to be treated as the word of the Ma'soom, as the word of the Imam. Whatever they say is a word of the Ma'soom. This is what those hadith suggests. Well, there's spiritual preparation that is required for that to happen. An average person or even an average scholar that has read the ahadith, read the verses of the Quran, is not at a level where their word is the word of the Ma'soom. This is a very high level. Who trained them? The last part of the training was at the time of Imam Hasan al-Askari. This tells us, or one of the signs, one of the reasons why we believe that Imam Hasan al-Askari salamullah alayhi had to do, or part of what he had to do, an important part of what he had to do, was spiritual training on a higher level, specifically for certain individuals like those two individuals at the time, and through some of his instructions for people that will come later, all of us.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering the doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic beliefs. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, and in the studio we have our dear scholar and a PhD student in economy, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid. and thank you for joining us in this program.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
All right, I'm going to dive straight into it. The first question we have received from one of our dear listeners is, persisting in a minor sin, does it make it to a major sin? One more time. Persisting in a minor sin, you persist in doing a minor sin, does that make that sin into a major sin?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, regarding the sins, obviously we know that when we count something as small, that's the time where you persist in doing something. For example, we know that lying is a sin. It's a bad thing. Even right. If we don't talk in the Islamic perspective, lying to someone is bad.
Right.
But we know that the parents sometimes, they lie in front of their kids, or maybe they tell their kids to lie someone. For example, if dad is in home and someone calls him, he tells his kid to tell them that I'm not at home. This thing brings something into the mind of the kid that...
Unconsciously.
Right. That this kind of refusing or saying like this kind of talking...
White lies.
These are fine. These are all right. You can do that. And this leads him to say the bigger lies. When it is said like the small lies, the minor sins, the persisting of minor sins, it makes into a major sin. It means that when we count any sin, any action which is not good, when we count it as small, it leads to bigger bigger sins or bigger bad actions or deeds.
Right.
The problem today that we have in the world is when we count anything small, for example, riba, we know it is haram. There was a big discussion in
backbiting.
Riba. Interest.
Right.
We know it is haram to take. But obviously in the societies we have seen there were articles, there were people, there were government who supported that. It became a small thing for the people. When it became small, now that riba, which is being said clearly in the Quran, it is haram and Allah do not accept the a'mal of a person, for example, who eats riba and all those things that we have, it has become something normal in our daily routine life. The banks, they are obviously paying the riba, we are eating the riba. On the other hand, there is another thing, which is called rishwa, which is
bribery.
Now, bribery is, in the hadith we have, ar-rashi wal-murtashi kilahuma finnar.
Both of them,
who gives the bribe and who takes the bribe, they both are in the hellfire. Now, what happens is, we in some societies we see they change the name of bribe into hadiah or gifts.
Right.
For example, if there's
Did they play with the words? I mean, when you change your intention, is that all right?
No, obviously, you know, the intention is
or
there.
You're trying to fool yourself. I changed my intention from bribery to gift. But that is
the point is, at that status, for example, there is a traffic police officer. You have committed an unlawful action. Maybe you broke the law rules of the traffic. And when he came to, for example, fine you, you say, okay, this is
a small gift
for your tea. You've been working for the whole day. You can buy a juice or a drink of water and something
right.
like that.
Thank you very much, but I will still find you.
Yes. And with that favor, he will leave you. He's not writing any
fine. But that is in a certain countries.
That's the problem. I just give a small example. This is one of the small examples
right.
that we can take.
But it's very easy for us to say this, or sitting here comfortably and saying this stuff. But what about bureaucracy, paper jobs, and you want to have a passport? I know countries that... just to get or receive a passport or receive your papers, you have to bribe. Otherwise, you would not be successful in getting your own rights, your own papers.
Well, that goes back.
The system is basically forcing you and squeezing you into a corner, and you're basically forced to do that. Otherwise, you would not get your jobs or your papers done.
That is right, obviously, but still, we need to look.
Do we have exceptions?
In that country, is it necessary for you to be in that country, in such a state? because we have the rules for migration, immigration, obviously, the Islamic rules. That
well, suppose that you cannot immigrate. Suppose you're there, you're a citizen, you have to live there, you have to coexist well, with them, you have to interact what you need with
to,
them.
That's what you need to refer to your mujtahid then, ask him, because this is not my point that I can tell you, like, for example, you can do. For example, if I say, okay, in the exceptions you can do, everyone will bring an exception for themselves. So that's the problem. In such the cases where we have the secondary rule, the hukm thani, right, which is called, in that regard, obviously, you need to refer to your mujtahid or the marja. He has to look at the whole scenario.
Right. Now, you came with the police example. That is obviously wrong to do such a thing. That person should actually thank the police for trying to implement the law and giving me myself a fine, which I actually did once. I thank the police for giving me a fine. But what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes in some countries, it makes everything smoothly. It smooths everything out when you give that gift or bribe or whatever you want to call it because of your own rights. You want to have your own rights.
Well, obviously, it's because the system is corrupt.
Yes.
It goes back to the system.
So that person so is not to yes, be blamed. No.
That person, yes, if he is enforced to do that, that is something else, obviously. I said they need to obviously ask their mujtahid. But the point is, in such countries, because the system is corrupt, people should go... people should try to change the system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the system of wilaya, the justice. We have many Muslim countries where we do not have this system of wilaya, and they are the corrupt system, the secular system. And in that system, obviously, for example, if I can just give you an example, one of the prime ministers of a Muslim country, for example, Pakistan, he around a month ago, he had a speech in the city of Lahore where he said, like, after 2 years, I found that the whole system is corrupt and we cannot make any change into this country because the system is corrupt. They do not allow us to bring the modifications or the to basically to make these things
reforms
to make things right. So basically, people should raise their voice in order to change the system. I recall a story which was narrated in one of the books. It was regarding the Jesus Christ alayhi salam. And once Jesus alayhi salam was passing through a valley where there were obviously the houses and the lands and everything, obviously it was destroyed because of the adab of the ilahi, the punishment of ilahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was with his companions, Hawariyun. One of the Hawariyun, the companions, he asked Isa alayhi salam that what happened on this town? Why it's destructed like this? And why Allah has sent his punishment on them? Isa alayhi salam, he stood there and he called and he said that, can someone from you answer my questions? And in the whole town, in that area, there was only one person who raised from the grave. And from that, obviously, destroyed town. He raised and he started to answer Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam asked him, like, what happened over here? He said, we were living here and our master or the king of this town or this place, this area, he was a brutal person. He was unjust and he was an oppressor. And people